All right, my friends, it is wonderful to be gathered here again for our first Advent service. And so we lit the first candle on the wreath. Anybody knows what that's about? What's the first candle mean? Hope. And I was just talking to the kids about the hope. They're all gone now. They all went home. They're going to bed where I wish I was. But anyway, no, but the thing is, this is about the hope, but I was telling them, it's not like the hope of what I'm going to get for Christmas. Like, I hope I'm going to get what I want. That's not what this kind of hope is. This kind of hope's a little different. We just got back from Thanksgiving, right? And everybody ate too much. But my wife's side of the family does Thanksgiving wrong, just so you know. They don't believe in Thanksgiving for lunch. They believe in Thanksgiving for, like, maybe an early dinner. But then they don't feed you lunch. Instead, they bring out like crackers, which that's not satisfying, right? And so us Lieb men, you know, the four guys are suffering. Is this not true? We suffer through the day with the beer. Yes, that, okay. But we suffer through the day with the hope of knowing that dinner will come eventually, right? It is certain. We can smell the turkey. We know it's actually coming. It's not that we're hoping that it's going to come, but our hope is the promise is certain and we know it's going to happen, that the suffering will one day end, right? Yeah, not to be dramatic, but nevertheless. But that's the kind of hope we're talking about for Christmas, is the hope of the certainty of God's promise, that we know that no matter what happens in this world, however crazy this place gets, he's coming. The one who's promised is coming. And we also are looking forward to his second coming too. And so let's begin this service. Let's stand up as we sing, as we begin. Let us begin remembering our baptism, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so very much for this Advent season, the season that we get to, that we use to prepare, Lord, to prepare for your coming, to prepare for Christmas. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn, help us to know, help us to remember all your promises, Lord, and all that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, in your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing. Let's confess our sins to God. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as our God has promised, in Psalm 122, David was writing and he said, in you I trust, in your word I put my hope. And the word of God tells us very clearly that Jesus came and that he took our sins upon himself and he paid for those sins and gives us eternal life. The life we didn't deserve. And so on the basis of your confession and on the basis of God's promise, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated as we sing. I'm sorry, first reading for tonight is Psalm 122. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together, where the tribes grow up, the tribes of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord according to the statue given to Israel. There stands the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. And the sermon text for today is Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Advent is always an interesting time at St. Mark's because we have so many programs and stuff during the week that we only have actually two Advent services. And so I had to come up with a two-part Advent series. And so what we're doing is we're going to talk about the unlikely people that Jesus and that are God made part of the Christmas story. It's going to be the shepherds and then the wise men. So tonight we're going to talk about the shepherds. All right. And shepherds were kind of an interesting group. For the longest time, I've heard so many sermons talking about how shepherds were the disrespected, the lowest of the low class, the ones that everybody kind of looked down on. That wasn't completely true, though, because there were some very notable shepherds throughout Israel's history. I mean, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all shepherds, right? That's how they made most of their money, was raising sheep and having flocks. And so they did do that. And then don't forget about King David. Remember, before he was king, he was a shepherd. You know, the man after God's own heart. The high king of Israel, the one that the golden era, right? I mean, he was the guy. And he started out as a shepherd. So there were some very notable shepherds, and shepherds did have some respect, but shepherds had some difficulties too. The first of which is they had a very difficult time participating in the worship life of Israel. And there's a reason for this. There were the purity laws in Israel, right? Where the people had to be clean in order to be able to go and take part in temple worship and the worship life. The problem was the shepherds had to do a bunch of things that made them not clean, and they had to do them all the time, right? So, for instance, if you assist with birth and get any kind of bodily fluid on you, it makes you unclean, and that includes animals. So how many births did a typical shepherd help with when you had a large flock of sheep? All right, so they were unclean a lot of the time. Another thing, if they come into contact with any bodily fluid or a sick person or animal, they are made. And shepherds cannot turn their back on a sick sheep. They have to nurse them back to health. Thus, they spend a lot of their time unclean. What else? Oh, dead bodies would make you unclean. And there are sheep that don't make it sometimes, you know. And then there's also the dead bodies of the animals that they kill protecting the sheep, which makes them unclean. Which is interesting because even if they were clean, they would need to be able to get to the temple to worship, right? But you can't just leave the sheep in the field and go to Jerusalem and attend the temple worship. Because, that's the whole job, is that you have to be with the sheep. Interesting. Because of the shepherd's job, they were struggling with worship. And because they struggled with worship, they were not regarded as highly as they could be, right? Often by people who had much easier jobs and had much more reasonable lives and could actually go home and do things like prepare for worship. Here's another thing. These shepherds were in Bethlehem, which is really, really close to Jerusalem. All right? Now, what do you know happens in Jerusalem that went through a lot of sheep? Sacrifices? You know? How about Passover? Guess where all the sheep had to come from? The shepherds. So, the shepherds who were not clean in order to go to Sunday or to go to Sabbath worship or to go to temple worship were the ones who were making it possible for everybody else to go and fulfill their vows at the temple. Weird, huh? I mean, these shepherds were, they had an interesting life. I mean, they basically lived low so other people could live high. That was their lot in life. It's where they were. They were the ones who raised the sacrificial animals so that everybody else could take part in the worship that they couldn't take part in. But isn't it interesting that these unclean shepherds, the ones who always missed out, were the ones that God chose to be the first to see the Lamb of God. The ones that that God brought in and said, this is the Lamb, the one, the Messiah, the one you have long expected. That God in his grace and mercy did not count that uncleanness against them when he brought them into the presence of Jesus. And that when the shepherds saw Jesus and heard what the angels said, they, as the Bible said, went away telling everybody all that they had seen and heard. Because they saw something amazing. This season is the season of preparation. The season of our getting ready. Readying our houses, readying, I'm sure, our pantries and our refrigerators for the celebration of Christmas, right? But mostly preparing ourselves. And one of the things that I love about these shepherds is to remember that God accepts them. The people who didn't measure up. And he welcomed them to his side. And that they were the first to see the Savior. He didn't call the Pharisees. He didn't call the Sadducees. He didn't call, you know, the king. He didn't call anybody else. He called the shepherds. And that the death and resurrection that baby later suffered, covered their sin as well. I think it's just fascinating to look at all the different ways that God ties together all these different threads, you know? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you, Lord, for your incredible plan of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for promising Jesus and then coming through and keeping your promise, sending your son into this world. And Lord, I pray that you would help us just like the shepherds, as we prepare for your coming, that we would continue to tell everybody everything that we have seen and heard. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We now come to the time of prayer in our service, and one person we want to keep in our prayers today is Diane Lewis. Good. Pulled it out of my head. Yes, Diane Lewis. She went to the hospital with pneumonia symptoms, and they've done some imaging, and they're afraid there's more going on, and we're still kind of collecting information and waiting for results from the doctors. So keep the Lewis family, those three sisters, in your prayers. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you have given us, Lord, this season of preparation for your coming. Lord, I pray that you would prepare our hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, to live in constant amazement and adoration, Lord, for all that you have done for us. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to grow us closer to you so that we can have peace in all circumstances. Lord, I pray especially, Lord, for Diane, Lord, tonight. I pray that you would continue to be with her. Give her strength, Lord. Give her faith that just is able to trust in you and take peace from the knowledge of your presence and strength in her life. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the work of the doctors and nurses, Lord, that they would be able to figure out exactly what's wrong and find some treatment for it. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless all the ministries of St. Mark's, Lord, especially our school, Lord, and the wonderful children as they prepare to share your incredible message of salvation with the people, Lord, who come to their programs. Lord, thank you so much for their hearts. Thank you for their faith. Thank you for the opportunity that they have to serve. And thank you, Lord, that they have this chance to share the message of the Jesus that they love so much. Lord, we pray all these things in your name. And we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And now, we prepare to go our way. But our hope isn't left here. Our hope goes with us because God goes with us. His promise goes with us. And so receive his blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's sing one final song. Well, God's blessings on your evening, and as you begin this Advent season, the Advent devotions are available in the lobbies. Lauren's printed off a whole bunch of them. They're really amazing and helpful. I've really enjoyed them as well. Is there anything else? Then go in peace. And serve the Lord.